But God, I pray that we will have, that we will talk and tell stories about the things that you have done in this school. That, Lord, that we would want to tell people how incredible you are, and how this school has affected our city and our province and our nation and then the world. That, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would come alongside those that are hopeless and those that are fearful, and that you would show yourself strong. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so just two really quick things before I give you some other announcements. I've been asked to, anybody interested in softball, there's going to be a meeting in here at lunchtime, softball. And Danica has asked me as well to let you know that the soccer guys are playing on Monday against IMAC, and they would love for you to come out in school colors and spirit stuff. I'm not saying the day is a spirit day. You would have to talk to Mr. Bishop about that. But I'm saying that actual game, he's right there, but don't do it now. The actual game, if you come up and support the guys, they would love that, because that's a big game. And apparently IMAC are a big team this year. So, be cool. Other things that are happening, Friday, I was so happy, it's just so blessed that last Friday, on Friday morning, there was a prayer meeting, and I think we had like 25 students come out and pray for this school and for the teachers and for you, and it was just so great. So I'd encourage you to come out, give up some time on the Friday mornings. It's just an incredible time. And then next Wednesday is See You at the Poll. It'd be great to see you at the poll next Wednesday, starting at I think 8:10. Just throw your backpack to the school, run to the pole, and let's pray. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And some of the things you've seen behind me are some of the people coming to that's convenient, Audacity in a couple of weeks' time. I think we're at about 700 have registered so far. People coming from all over the world, Alberta, Williams Lake, just crazy far places. Coming to Kelowna in I don't know about. Well, I think it's 2 weeks tomorrow. So lots of work for me to do still, but I'm really excited about the lineup. Blue Tree are going to be there. I've already spoken to you about them, and Leland, and we've got Reflection Band going to be there. We've got Innocent. Woo! Innocent, which is our own grown type band, and there they go. There's Ryan's bum, I think, and. And then we've also got Oceans Apart as well, and lots of different speakers. Phil Collins is coming from Willow, and Kerry Liegman from Trinity, and Jason Ballard from Campus Fire. It's going to be a great, great weekend. So I'd encourage you to book in. If you want to see where and how you do that, look at the posters outside. Two things that really, really blessed me that I wanted to let you know. Some of you may know this already, but Mr. Lewis sent out a rather panicky email yesterday, and I don't blame him. At the end of the barbecue, his daughter had left her iPad in the downstairs washroom. Yes. And it went missing. So that's not good, and it kind of leaves you with a bit of a sick feeling in your stomach. Not so, you know, obviously because of the loss of the iPad, but that somebody would take that. But this morning, a little person who I've yet to find, and I will hunt them down, actually gave the iPad in to the office. And that's just so, so good, especially in what we're talking about in terms of identity and living out who you really are. And so I don't know whether the person's in here, or I heard they were quite small, so I'm guessing that they were in middle school. I don't know. It's somebody in here, isn't it? Was it Bailey? Oh, now I've embarrassed her. It was Bailey. Good for you, Bailey. I told the middle school as well, sorry. Okay. So not that small, quite tall, actually. But I'm going to stop the embarrassment now. So, Bailey, that just blessed me. It was awesome. And I think it's good to recognize that sort of thing. And also, Mrs. Hollenquist has asked me to let you know how pleased Mrs. Laurie and herself have been over the last couple of weeks, because that is a crazy time for them in the counseling department in terms of courses and programs. And they were just blown away by your behavior and your attitude and the way that you approach them, very respectful and polite. And she asked me specifically just to give a shout out for that. So good for you guys. Really, really good start to the school year. I need to let you know something. I need to share from my heart. Something that's just, you know, I'm just going to open up my garden. Please don't trample on the roses as I share this. And there are lots of roses. Anyway. You all have really weird accents. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but it's true. You all sound really, really strange to me. And especially when people, it happens to me all the time. Some of you might have even been with me. I've been in Starbucks and the barista's gone, "I really like your accent." "Oh, thanks. What'd you say?" "Yeah, I practice it every day. You know, I just put this on." Somebody told me that I sounded like Pierce Brosnan. Okay. Not sure how Pierce Brosnan sounds, but apparently I don't think he sounds anything like me. But I'm an alien in a foreign land. I'm surrounded by strange accents. I know you think you don't have an accent. You do, and it's weird to me. And if you ever go to outside of North America, you will sound strange to people. They might not say, "Oh, you sound like, you know, I don't know, Barack Obama or anything like that," but you will sound strange. And it's something that I probably, I'm not exaggerating, and you know, as soon as somebody says that, you think, yeah, you are. But honestly, this is true. Every day I get some comment about my accent. Now, I know I'm taking a step of faith here, because now that you know that, you're just going to amp it up and increase it. I realize that. But I have people impersonating me. And it's just not good quality impersonations, really. And they'll say, "All right there, governor." "Wow, that's a great accent. Good for you. High five." You know, and some of you think you've got a really good English accent, don't you? Amy Bloomfield. It's a name but one that I heard. I don't know, there might be a connection there with my daughter, I don't know. Is it true, Amy? But you know, the accent thing is really strange. It happened to me today, already twice, somebody has made fun of my accent. This morning with my 5-year-old son, I said, "So did you have a nice time at H2O? And he went, "It's not H, it's H." Thank you, son. On the way, we were talking about pumpkins, and on the way to school, and Amber said, "Well, if we don't get pumpkins, maybe we get pumpkin spice latte." And I said, "Yeah, but pumpkin spice latte is really, really difficult to carve." And she went, "What? Carve? To do what? Carve, carve, carve it, carve, with a knife, carve. Because you don't say carve, you say carve. Carve." See, you're all strange. You're all weird to me. Carve. This in Britain is called, I've said this before, this is called a bottle of water. Or bottle of water. You say bottle of water. Notice the lip movement. It's very important. Bottle of water. That's what you all look like. This is a bottle of water. Bottle of water. See, you're getting it. Yeah. See, I'm going to regret this chapel. I know I am. I'm going to regret it. You see, people are stealing my... They're almost like stealing my accent. They're taking part of me, and they're just trampling it on the floor, thinking I'm going to be impressed. And actually, every now and again, you do make me laugh, guys. You really do. And I'm joking. It's all good. But you're kind of taking part of me, and I just let it go. It's all good. If you were to take other things from me, though, if you tried to take my wallet from me, I'm going to fight you. Just warning you, just in case any of you think about doing that. If somebody comes into my house and tries to steal stuff, I'm going to chase them down. I used to work in a store similar to American Eagle, and part of my job was to watch for shoplifters. I love that job, mainly because you got a really cool radio. And I was so happy about that when I was 18. Tried not to look like I was happy, but I was. Used to walk around radio. Used to be clued into all the other stores. And I used to chase after shoplifters weekly. It was great. I remember meeting one guy. He'd shoved pairs of Levi jeans down his pants. Like loads of them. And so his thighs were like the size of Alberta. And then he was running away like this. I nailed him. It was so good. So good. I'm going to fight if somebody steals something. But yet, You know what? We have our identities stolen every day, and we do nothing about it. Somebody will come in to our life, it might be a group of friends or something, and we kind of give over our identity. Or worse still, we have so many different kinds of identity that we pull them out depending on what the situation is. In other words, we change ourselves depending on what the situation is. There's a clip from one of my favorite movies to kind of give an example of this. I think it'll come on in a second. Yes. Okay, there you go. So, Jason Bourne, Bourne Identity, awesome, awesome movie. It's kind of, it's an interesting, you know, picture of life, though. Because I know some of you have got this passport, and not to over-spiritualize it, but let's say you've been given this identity that you know is real at some point in your life, and you just know that you gave your life over to Christ, and you have this identity in you that, like we said last week, you know that God's created you, you know that you're loved by God, you know that you have this purpose, and it's like, it's the real you, and you open it, you can see Jason Bourne, born in Paris, that's who he was. But then he looks and he's got all these other identities. He's Jason Bourne from Brazil and he's Jason Bourne from this other part. So depending on the situation, he can use a different passport. He can use a different identity card. And I wonder whether some of us have got the equivalent of that in our life, that depending on the situation, we can pull out a different passport, a different identity. If you need me to be the funny person who doesn't care about life, here's my ID. I'll put the real thing away. If you need me to be strong when really what's going on inside of me is pain, then here's my identity card. And we pull out these false IDs. People see through them often, but we still do it. The real us is yet to kind of really stand up and say, no, this is my real identity. This is who I am. I am a child of God. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. I know this is who I am. And I am no longer just going to give out IDs depending on the situation that I'm in. I'm just going to be strong to who I know who I am. And then if people try and take away our identity and try and change us, we fight, we protect it, we get indignant, we become unapologetic, and we're passionate about who we know we are. You see, David, we talked about him last week, there's this great example in his life where he is really challenged about his identity. He's really challenged about who he is. And it's a story, and I've spoken about it in chapel before, the David and Goliath story. He'd been told he was the king of Israel. He'd been anointed from head to toe with God's anointing oil. He was a set apart one, which is what anointing mean. It meant. He was set apart. He was separate. That's who he was. He was king of Israel in the making. He was also the anointed one of God at that time. He had this mandate, this mantle, if you like, upon his life. And he knew who he was. And then his dad sends him to give some sandwiches, some cheese buddies to his brothers in battle. And his brothers are in the army and they're facing Goliath and they're all sat around waiting for somebody to fight Goliath. You know the story. And then in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28, this is what is said to David by his eldest brother, Eliab. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man. This is David speaking to the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" You see how he's pulling David down? "I know your presumption and the evil of your heart." Clearly he didn't know David at all. "For you have come down to see the battle." There was no battle. They were just sitting around looking at each other. And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him. Notice that. He turned away from the criticism and turned to others. And he turned to another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. See, most likely the brothers were jealous. They were jealous of what was going on in his life. And you will meet people like Eliab who are jealous of what is going on in your life. And the only weapon they have against you is to pull you down, to criticize you, to remind you of who you really are. Yeah, you know what? Call yourself a Christian. I saw you fill in the blank. See, Christians don't do that. They'll remind you of stuff. And it's wounding, and you're like, it's not that what they're saying is not true, but it pulls you down. And if you want to, you can just give back your, "Yeah, you know what, you're right. Just, yeah, that's the real me." And you just lower yourself to that level. But David's response was that he said, "What have I done now?" He didn't back down. He didn't become the timid one in the corner. He didn't change his identity to make it like his brothers. What he actually did is he just shouted louder. He turned away from the criticism and he spoke to somebody else. And then somebody else and somebody else and somebody else until eventually the king heard. He was so secure in his identity. He was unapologetic and passionate about the calling that God had given him. He was not going to let anybody take that away from him. He was not going to let anybody steal his identity. He stood firm and he was vocal. Even when he was told by the king, "You're just a boy," it didn't deter him from the calling and the action he was about to take. He just pushed through. He was vocal. He got on with the job. And I wonder how many of us have got this identity that we know is the real one, and then we're challenged. Every day we're challenged, guys. You know that. You more than me. Every day you are challenged as to whether or not you are going to be unapologetic about the person you know you are inside by Christ. And somebody will challenge you and pull you in and take your identity and try and give you another one or remind you of who you really are, who they think you really are. And they will pull you down and they'll make fun of you and they'll gossip about you and they'll it's insidious and it slowly chips away until eventually you give over your true identity and you give them a different one. We're surrounded by every day. And yet David does not wait until later on to be unapologetic. He stands up and he's immediately unapologetic. There's no backing down with him. And then we got Eliab. Here's a challenge. Which one are we? Are we either David or, let's give him a girl's name, Davina, I don't know. Are we the David or are we Eliab? Are we the David who is unapologetic about who God has made you or who God has changed you and you're going to willing to stand? Or are we Eliab? Are we the one that is actually insecure and the only way you kind of get some kind of significance is by pulling down the Davids? And here's a little thing for you to remember. What they're pulling down is in reality what they know they should be. If they are critical about your Christianity, or if they're critical about your stand and about your strength and about being different, if they're critical of that, it's because deep down inside they know it should be them who is fighting the Goliath. It should be them who is unapologetic. They see something in you that they know they want. And the only mechanism they have to pull it down, to get rid of it, is to pull it down. So if you're a Christian and you feel the criticism and you feel the pull, be encouraged. That's why Jesus said, be encouraged. Because what they're doing is they're seeing Christ in you and reacting to that. So which are we? And sometimes we're both. Sometimes we're David in the right situations, the safe situations, and then we're Eliab in other situations. Maybe at school we're Eliab. And then at youth group we're David. And we swap between the two. David did not... Oh, here's another thing. Eliab, what was Eliab doing as he was criticizing? Nothing. Zip. Sat around. Not doing anything. Critical of David, but not doing anything. See, David did not allow other people's criticism and thoughts to steal his identity. Guys, I have some news for you, and it's kind of depressing and encouraging in one way. There will come a day, not necessarily the girls, but there will come a day when the Speedos will be strapped on. The earplugs will be pushed firmly in. The full one-piece swimsuits for the ladies will be put on. And you will jump into a pool along with people who are a similar age to you, and you will do something called water aerobics. When the old folks kind of strap on and they kind of their glasses all mist up and get drippy and their perms kind of all get frazzled out and they're going, and they're kicking and they're doing the jumping jacks and they've got big smiling faces because they're being active, and we might watch that and we kind of inside make fun of it a little bit. I got news for you. It will be you one day. Oh yes, you will strap on those Speedos. Oh, that's a thought. You'll be like, oh, yes, look at me, me, me. It'll be you, and you'll be so proud of yourself, and you'll be so happy. You'll be hanging out with your buddies, and it's like, yeah, great water aerobic session. Yeah, high five. You know, it'll be you. You will get old, and you will get crumbly, and things will sag and lag, and you'll think, you know, you'll have to throw your belly over your left shoulder to go up some stairs. It'll happen to you. Now, there's a thought. Sorry. So we'll tighten and we'll stretch and we'll Botox and we'll make that looks natural, and you know, and we'll iron our faces or whatever it is that they do to try and keep some semblance of being young. The people that we admire most in the media, they're going to get old and crumbly. The wealthiest, their wealth will not go with them. The athletes will end up getting all creaky and clicking and old. It'll happen. And if we model our life upon that, then we will be running in a race that will end to nothing, because eventually you'll get older and you'll wish that you were younger. You know, we're always looking to somebody else for happiness, and it's a really sad road. It's a really sad road. And yet David relies on God. He is passionate about his identity in God, not on anybody else. It wasn't on his brothers or anything else. See, if we compare ourselves to others, one day it will fail. But if we are our own person, owned by God, and unapologetically living that out, we will be running at the Goliaths, just like David, secure on that inside strength. You see, when we're secure in who we are, action will always follow. And you will always have the opportunity to be different, opportunity to be David. There's opportunities around you all the time. Think about see you at the poll. You will have an opportunity to go, okay, just kind of creep past. Nobody will notice me. Or you'll be unapologetic and go, you know what? I don't feel like praying this morning, but I'm going to live out some part of the identity I know that God has given me. And we go and join. And wouldn't it be great if we had a crowd of unapologetic people recognizing the identity they've been given in Christ, who will just put a couple of minutes aside to pray for our school. It's a stand. It's an action that always needs to follow the identity we are, that security that we have. Can we follow through with it? There's lots of opportunities. People will always follow something. See, the soldiers followed each other. But then, when they saw that David was successful in his passion and in his calling, they followed him. Verse 52, it says that when they saw that David had beaten Goliath, they chased after the Philistines. They were strengthened. You see, David was following God, and they were following David, because this is what will happen, guys. If you are passionate about who you are, that you are unapologetic, you're not just not being false to people, that you're secure, then you will be a leader, and people will follow you. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So here's a challenge for me. Is my life worth imitating? Apparently my accent is. But is my life worth imitating? Is the way that I talk to my colleagues and my children worth imitating? Are my actions to people around me worth imitating? Do they actually build people up, or am I just not worth imitating? That I'm not being a leader, that I'm not being sure and strong, that I'm just being whoever it is that people want me to be. See, so many of you are totally forgiven, fully accepted, deeply loved by God, created by an incredible creator, in his own image, and an incredible child of God. And that is the real you. And I'm calling to you guys, let's stand up and be unapologetic about that. Let's be passionate about who it is that God has called us to be, instead of giving out the wrong IDs. Let's make a stand. Maybe it's time for us to come to the prayer meeting and see you at the poll, and actually, or maybe it's just stuff that happens in the hallway, that you go out of your way to sit and be with somebody that nobody else is willing to be. So you're not just blindly following others, but you're following Christ. And maybe, just maybe, God is not finished with this city, because he's not finished with people following you, serving the city. There's nothing more attractive, and I mean attractive, than somebody who is their own person, confident, just secure in who they are. Guys, girls find that really attractive. Girls, same. Not cloning us, you know, not guys and girls, not cloning each other just to be the same as everybody else, but somebody who's going to stand forward and be the leader, that's incredibly attractive. Not that that should be a motivation, mind, but I'm just saying it's a nice side product, side benefit. So what are you unapologetic about in your life? Yeah, but Glenn, no. The Eliabs are the yeah buts. You know, I'm not saying that we should be completely irrational, but if we always give it a reason and excuse to not stand up, then is life really, is that what life is meant to be? But maybe we've got enough people in here who are saying, yeah, no, you know what? Now's the time. Now's the time I'm going to commit this to God, recognizing that Jesus took massive action and that you want to imitate that in some way and take action in your life, maybe in a really small way, but significant to you, that will cause other people to go, wow, there's something different about them. Not just blindly following. My prayer is that you won't just give your identity away. Seek after God and find out what the Bible says that you are. I tell you, if you did a study on finding out who you are in Christ, it's unbelievable. Just the statements that the Bible is full of. Just do a word search. Just do in Christ. And you'll see who you are in Christ is mind-blowing. And if we believe that and live that out on a daily basis, and yeah, we are going to make mistakes and we are going to screw up, but we brush ourselves off and we get on with it, because David made some really big mistakes. But we're still called a man after God's own heart. Don't let people criticize you for what you've done. Maybe they wouldn't criticize you so much if they saw who you really are more often. Maybe that means being really transparent and humble. Probably. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing a song. And in this song, I just want you to treat this time as you've listened really well, and I appreciate that, but just this time is where it's you and God. Just to think. Think about what it is that God is calling you to be. It's just yada.
not much to offer you, not near what you deserve, but still I come because your cross has placed in me my worth. O Christ, my King of sympathy, whose wounds secure my peace. Your grace extends to call me friend. Your mercy sets me free. And I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. I can't explain this kind of love. I'm humbled and amazed that you come down from heaven's heights and greet me face to face. And I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here your feet, in my brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet, in my brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet, in my brokenness.
We come to you now with so many different things that are broken, and we all know who we are deep inside. And God, I thank you that you love us. You care so deeply about each one of us. And Lord, I thank you that in that weakness there is tremendous strength, that recognizing that we need your help, recognizing that without you, that maybe that we're just living lives that are more empty than they should be. But God, I pray in Jesus' name that the Davids in this school, the ones that are called children of God by you, would stand and be unapologetic for that. Lord, I know there are so many. And Lord, I pray for those that are just kind of wrestling with the whole thing. Holy Spirit, I pray you would comfort them and bring peace to them, that Lord, they would be drawn to you, and that God, they would come into a relationship with you, that they could see the identity, see the way that you see them. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray big action is going to be taken, whatever that looks like. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.